Brothers and sisters, it is good to be with you on this Ascension Day. St. Andrew's is honored to be able to have all of you here with us today. It is good to be able to gather in this place and recall this pivotal day in the story of our salvation and our calling. This day, when we recall that our resurrected Lord and Savior, after showing us the way of love through his life and ministry, after suffering the world's response to that love through the cross, after conquering death and overcoming the grave, after walking and talking and eating with his disciples for those glorious 40 days, after all of that, that our resurrected Lord and Savior was carried up, lifted high above all heavens, so that he might reign as Lord of all. As Paul writes in his epistle to the Ephesians, describing the reality that flows from the ascension, God has seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named not only in this age, but in the age to come. Paul continues that God has put all things under Christ's feet and has made him the head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In 10 short days, we will gather in our various churches around this diocese, and we will remember and celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit that followed after Christ's ascension. And in doing so, we will acknowledge the incredible power and awesome responsibility that we have in God's church as those who have been baptized by water and the Holy Spirit, and for many of us here today, ordained to serve in God's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The responsibility that we have to continue the work of making God's love known to all. And in 10 short days, we will give thanks that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that work as we prepare to enter the long season after Pentecost and continuously reflect on our calling as God's people to share the good news. But today, on the Feast of Ascension, we have the opportunity to pause. The opportunity to pause and consider how we are called to acknowledge, how we are called to worship, how we are called to revere, to reverence the one who took on human flesh, who became the very embodiment of love, and who was physically resurrected and then physically ascended. And just to make sure that there's no misunderstanding on this, the fleshliness of Christ's resurrection and ascension is made abundantly clear in the verses that immediately precede Luke's gospel account of the ascension. There, the resurrected Jesus tells his disciples, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And then, in one of my favorite moments in the gospel, Jesus grabs a piece of fish and he puts it in his mouth. And as someone who grew up in 96 South Carolina, I always wish, as I read that passage, that Jesus had said, "Hey, y'all, watch this." right before he threw that piece of fish in his mouth. But in other words, Jesus makes sure that his disciples understand that it is in fact him, that he is in fact there in the flesh, a living, breathing, eating body. And then in the verses that follow, our incarnate, resurrected Lord is lifted up to heaven, where this fleshly embodiment of love is given his seat at the right hand of God. And through that act, there is a mysterious redemption and glorification of our physical humanity. For the embodied Christ now reigns in the highest heaven. And how do the disciples react as God's plan and purpose continues to be revealed to them through the ascension? Not with sadness at Christ's departure, though I'm sure that there came a day for some of them when they looked back with nostalgia at those glorious 40 days when he walked and talked and ate among them in his resurrected form. But sadness is not what Luke records, and neither does Luke record fear or doubt or confusion or uncertainty. Instead, as Luke writes, the disciples worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, I'm no Greek scholar, and some of you may think that you are, but that word for worship, proskuneo, is a physical word. It means to pay homage by falling onto the ground, to prostrate oneself, or at the very least, to kneel. And having seen the bodily ascension of their Lord, they used their bodies to worship him, and they did so with joy. They joyfully bowed or kneeled or laid upon the ground in honor of Jesus, the one whose name was now above every name on heaven and in earth. Now, if you're not into bowing or kneeling or lying prostrate in worship, you may point out that in the account of the ascension found in the first chapter of Acts, the disciples were apparently standing as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. But of course, that posture apparently earned the verbal rebuff of the two men in white robes who suddenly appeared beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven?" Or at least that's my reading of how it was said. Nonetheless, the critical point is that unlike those trying hours and days that passed between the arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples did not scatter in fear, nor did they mourn his departure. Instead, the experience of the ascension inspired them to worship Jesus. And then they stood up and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And in the days that followed, they were continuously in the temple blessing God. The inspiration to worship persisted, for their Lord had been lifted up to heaven in their midst, and now was given the place of honor that had been prepared for him. And so they reveled in the worship of him, of the one whose name was now above all names. far above all rule and power and dominion and authority, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And they did so in the knowledge and comfort that the Holy Spirit was on its way. And they were being called to witness to the ends of the earth. In the days ahead, there was much good work to be done. There were many trials and challenges on the road ahead. But first, they paused to celebrate, to honor, to revere, to adore, to pay homage to their Lord and King, the one who had dominion over all. And so, as we continue to be called to bear witness to love's dominion, as we prepare for the good work that God has placed before us in our respective callings, let us likewise be inspired to pause and worship on this day, in body and in spirit. Worship that glorifies the name that has ascended above all names, Jesus.